Somebody I was talking to this week said, when I'm the worship leader, I always feel a little nervous. I said, I'll be honest with you. I feel a little nervous every Sunday when I get up here. There was a young couple who had invited their elderly, not me, pastor, to dinner one day after the Sunday service, and they were in the kitchen preparing the dinner. And the minister said to one of the people's sons, said, What are we having for dinner today? And he said, we're having goat. The little boy replied, goat. Kind of startled the minister, and he was wondering about that. And he said, are you sure about that? He said, yep. I heard Dad say to Mom, today's just as good as any day to have the old goat over for dinner. So. Not me. We sang about him. We've heard scripture about him. And there are angels that are all around us. And they're here. They're here to protect us, to watch over us, to keep us safe. Angels go before us, a lot of times taking danger out of our path. They're here to direct us in which way to go. Sometimes that path is dangerous and they will say, go another way. Sometimes we are delayed and we grumble because our flight's late or something's wrong or something's happened or there's an accident up the road and I have to wait and 10 minutes earlier we could have been the accident. I believe there's reasons for everything. Even though there are times I don't like them. Because I don't like to wait. As much as I traveled, I was fortunate. I only had one flight that was delayed. And unfortunately, it left me in Cleveland. But we also need to be certain that we do not stop angels from ministering to us. And we can do that. And we can really shut off their protection. Angels protect God's children. And so if we continually resist something, God tells us we need to do something and we continue to resist it, then we're resisting what God is telling us to do, and so we lose that fellowship, we lose that relationship. The Bible talks about angels being real and says so much about them that their description of angels is probably different than what we might imagine. In the picture before that with all the angels with the wings might be different than what is depicted by society and what we see. Last week we talked about Lucifer, the fallen angel. And if you missed the message perchance, go back and listen to it because the messages are tied together in a series and we talk about different things. And so we talked about the fallen angel last week, and this week we're going to talk about what I call warrior angels or fighting angels. Angels that are out to watch over us, and we all have them. And last week I said, if I were to ask you what Satan looks like, how would you depict him? What do you think he would look like? And I would ask the same question today. In our minds, what do we think that he looks like? What do we think an angel looks like? Do we have any idea? Even a better question is, do we believe in him? Because there are people that do not believe in him. And I will tell them, in my opinion, they're wrong. We hear a lot about them from movies, a lot about angels. I was looking this week, and some movies I saw was Angels in the Outfield. It came out in 1994. There's a TV show, I believe, called Touched by an Angel. to 1994 to 2003. I will admit, I never watched it. I don't know why. I just don't watch network TV. It's got to be on ESPN. I think there was another TV show called Teen Angel. When I lived in California, the office I worked in Santa Ana, you could have thrown a rock to hit the stadium where the California Angels played, who are now the Los Angeles Angels. And had an opportunity to go to several games there and see them. And I still have a cap I probably bought 20-some years ago with an A and a halo around it. That was the insignia of that time. So angels do exist in the world today. So a lot of people, if they can't see an angel, they don't believe that they exist. We live, as I said last week, by our senses, and by what we can see and feel and taste and hear and touch. And so if I can't do any of that, then I can't, and I don't believe in anything other than that, my faith might not reach out to where an angel is, then I don't believe them. I don't believe in them. And maybe even a greater challenge might be the idea, do I really have an angel looking over me, watching over me, keeping me safe, showing me what to do? So the best place that we can go to find out if angels exist is really the Bible. And I had laid out some blank pieces of paper today, and I'm not sure if you've got one in your bulletin or not, if you got one that didn't have it. But there's a lot of scripture references, and these will also be on the website in the message that'll be posted after here that you can go back and listen to. But the best source that we can find to know what's right and what's wrong is the Bible. And so Genesis chapter 3 verse 24 says, he drove man out and east of the garden. He stationed cherubim with a flaming, whirling sword to guard the way of the tree of life. When God cast Adam and Eve out, the Bible says that he put an angel at the gate. Some people think it was to keep people from coming in, but the Bible says to guard the way of the tree of life. A lot of times people read things into what they want to believe. But he placed that angel there to show the way. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire within a bush. As Moses looked, he saw that the bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. And we remember that story of Moses and the burning bush, and we heard it when we were probably children in Sunday school about the angel appearing to Moses at that time. Chip read it earlier about the angel standing in the way of the prophet. Three different times the angel stood there. And the donkey was the only one smart enough to realize it. It's kind of amazing when you really stop and think about it. There's a lot of things you could say about that. There are references in the Bible in Daniel that an angel shut the mouths of lions when Daniel was in the lion's den. There's also lots of references in the book of Isaiah about angels and about their ministry to people and to us. Psalm 91, and probably might be the best, and it's what I read earlier, but I think it says it so well when we look at this. And I would encourage you to read Psalm 91 this week if you get a chance. If you don't get a chance, take a chance, because it's captioned, the protection of the Most High. And so when we talk a lot about angels and we talk a lot about demons, and we see people that are possessed, we see people that are troubled, we see people that can't sleep at night because they're restless, we see people that suffer great things. I was listening to some guy today on the radio, and I won't tell you who it was because I wouldn't recommend you listening to him. But he said that the only place that people could be saved was in churches. I'll tell you where it was. It was the Pisgah Church of Christ. And that's what he was saying. And then he was talking about leprosy and what leprosy looked like. And I'm sitting here thinking, that's not even true. What he was saying about leprosy was true, but what he's saying about you can only be saved in a church, thinking, man, where did you come up with this stuff at? And what that is it's false teaching. You can be saved anywhere. Anytime we make the decision to yield to God, well, I don't care if it's out here on a highway, it doesn't make any difference. I was listening to that and I'm thinking, good grief. Psalm 91 says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. So you hop on that plane next Saturday for this honor flight, God's going to protect you. God's going to keep you safe because he said that here in his word. So they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. That's amazing to me when you really stop and think about it. Well, that's a bunch of Old Testament stuff. What about the New Testament? Sandy referenced it in the angel talking to Joseph and telling him to depart. But there was also an angel called Gabriel that came to a young woman by the name of Mary and said, you're going to have a child. That didn't just happen. And things didn't just happen. So here's some thoughts on angels. God created angels before he ever created the universe. Before there was ever anything, there was angels. It was dark until God said, light be in Genesis. And so he created these in the dark. He created them all simultaneously. When he said, let angels, he's going to say, let light. And he created them all at the same time. Revelation 5:11 says their number is incomprehensible. But Revelation 5:11 says 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands and thousands. Revelation 5:11. The Bible says that angels watched God's work. And in Job 38 it says, they shouted for joy at the results of the creation. Can you imagine 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands and thousands of angels shouting joy? But that's what the Bible says when we enter heaven. It's going to be the same thing because angels are going to be rejoicing that we're there. They're going to continue to live after time is gone. Angels were created. They do not die. There is a consistent, constant number of angels, and that's what we're going to have. The word angel means messenger, and we see a lot of that in the New Testament, in the Bible. And a lot of times, let me share this. Hebrews 2, 1 through 3 says that for since the message spoken through angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received as just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such great salvation? The message comes to us through angels. That's what he's saying there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19 says, "The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator." The word angels, as I mentioned earlier, comes from Greek, and it comes from the word angelos, A-N-G-E-L-O-S, and it means messenger. The Old Testament word for an angel is malk, M-A-L apostrophe A-K. And interestingly enough, it also means messenger. And they are messengers to bring good news to us, because that's what angels did. Everywhere that we read this in the Bible, it talks about an angel bringing good news to people. However, as we talked last week, some of them rebelled against God. Lucifer rebelled against God. Had the greatest job in the world guarding the throne of God. Couldn't have been a better job in heaven than what he had. But he wanted more. He wanted something for himself, and he let his pride get in the way. Isaiah 14 talks about him being co-equal with the angel Gabriel. One chose to rebel, one chose to serve. One let his own desires get in the way of the desires of God. We see it happening today with people. You think about the rich young ruler. You think about Lazarus' brother who was in hell and said, "If I could just get you to dip your finger in water and just to touch my tongue," made that decision. Fallen angels live in two places. Some of them live on earth and just pester the life out of you. Constantly being nagging and constantly giving you an ache and a pain and constantly taking everything or something that you have and trying to take it away from you. Trying to get you to turn against God, trying to get you to rebel against God. And then there's some of them that live in a place called Tartarus. It's a prison cell in the lowest part of hell. And they are there captive until the last times, until Jesus comes back in the time of the great tribulation in that period of time. Two different places. Angels were created to praise and worship God around the throne. We learned this in Revelation when we did our study. Revelation 5, 11 and 12 said, "In a loud voice they sing, 'Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" They're worshiping God. That's what they're saying there. They're charged with guarding the responsibility of nations. Really? Really. We learn that, and we can read that in Daniel 10, how they are involved in guiding states and providing direction there. Every nation also has a demon charged with bringing that nation to destruction. You can read that in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel's a very prophetic book, by the way. Grab a copy of the Amplified Bible or the New Living Translation and read it sometime. And you'll find a lot about that. Daniel 10, 20 to 21 says, "Do you know why I came to come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince." Angels are powerful. They're more powerful than we can imagine. Remember the TV show Superman? You could stop a train. I can't remember the adjective they used. But an angel has power to stop things that are coming in our path. If you read in 2 Kings 19, and I'll just share this with you. It's one simple verse. But it's 2 Kings 19, verse 35. It says, "That night the angel of the Lord, went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. When the people got up the next morning, they were all dead bodies." 185,000 people. struck down by one angel. Angels are powerful. We also know that they'll fight demons. In Revelation 12, Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9, it said, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But we know they were cast out." So we know who won the victory. Every church is assigned an angel. We have an angel to watch over this church. Well, where'd you come up with that at? Revelation 1:20 says, "The mystery of the seven stars, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." That doesn't just talk about the seven churches of Laodicea and Thessalonica and the ones that are there, but it's talking about all churches have a guardian angel. And I'm sure that when things happen within a church, the angel's troubled, hurt. But we need to pray that God watches over us and his guardian angel watches over our church. Someone has said, many people have said, and I sound like the president, many people have said this, you know, but when they walk in the doors here, they sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. I know I do. And we need to pray that that Spirit stays with us. Angels will separate the wheat from the weeds in the final judgment. Matthew 13 says, "The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters will be angels." So he's out there, and the angels are out there, and they are separating by a person's own decision. And it says that the harvesters are the angels. Those are the ones that are harvesting the Christians. Angels minister to those who believe in Christ. Remember the story of Jacob and how the angel came and wrestled with him? It's in Genesis chapter 28. But it's an interesting picture of that type of activity when an angel will wrestle with us. They provide for physical needs of us. Elijah under the juniper tree, it said, "When he laid down and fell asleep, all at once an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around, and there was by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.'" So they protect us, they watch over us, they provide for our physical needs. As I mentioned earlier, they watched over the situation where Daniel was in the lion's den. I came across this week and I thought it was kind of interesting because I looked and I remember, this is a different story, but I remember reading a story about an accident that happened in New London, Missouri. It's about 9 miles from this town I grew up in, and it talked about an angel there in a priest's shirt. But this is a different one. I thought it was kind of interesting. He said, "In the spring of 1965, I was finishing my sophomore year at Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas, when I got a call. My father had died in an accident on our farm, and I had this somewhere to travel 100 miles north across farm country to get to Paragould. Hitchhiking. Hijacking. Well, I know we're awake. Hitchhiking was my best bet. In those days, it was considered safe. I trudged 2 miles of the highway and stuck out my thumb. Before I knew it, an international harvester truck pulled onto the shoulder. The driver, a middle-aged man, signaled for me, "Get in." He said, "Where are you headed?" Paragold, I said. A lump formed in my throat. Hold it together, I thought. You're in luck. I have an appointment in town nearby. We drove in silence for quite a while. Finally, out of the blue, he spoke. He said, you've got something weighing on you, don't you? He said, my dad died. He said, I just found out. And the trucker says to him, he says, son, it's up to you to stand tall and to take your dad's place, but fill the void he left. The trucker said it as if he believed I could do that and my dad would know about it. I figured we'd reached his destination because he stopped the truck and let me out. Somehow, I'd make it to the rest of the way. I thanked him and the trucker drove away in a cloud of dust. The air cleared and my family's barn was in view. I was home, even though I'd never given him my address. The accident that happened in New London, Missouri, was a girl was trapped in a car. And you can search it on the internet and read it, but it's an interesting story. They said the initially they didn't know who did it because the two people disappeared. I think there were 60-some pictures, and no one ever saw this person. And the guy finally came forward as a Catholic priest, finally came forward and said he was that individual. Angels reveal God's plans to us. We see this in Daniel. We see it a lot of other places. We see it in the book of Acts. We see it in Mary's life. And then there's a time that the angels minister to us in death. It said in Luke chapter 17, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's chest. None of us really want an angel to minister to us at death. We get kind of a frightening thing. You stop and think, wow. But that's what ministering angels do. They comfort us. It's my prayer that they're comforting the Souter family. It's my prayer they're comforting the Mills family. It's my prayer they're comforting Debbie's dad who just moved her dad. It's my prayer that he's comforting Robin today. That there's an angel there with her. There's an angel with Henry. They're all around us. They're here, and all we have to do is just say, here I am, Lord. I need that angel. I need that ministry. I need that protection. I need the comfort. I need help. And that's what your angel is there for. So our prayer should be, Lord, don't let me do anything to shut it off. But let me be open. Let my heart be so open and so welcoming that angel is there to take care of me and there to protect me. There to watch over my family, to watch over my children. And we really stop and think about it. Our children have angels. We have them, they have them. Nothing wrong with praying that God will continue to watch over them and bless them through that angel that ministers to them. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. Lord, thankful that your angels minister to us and watch over us and keep us and help us. That they protect us, that they bring us your word. They give us guidance, direction, protection. And Lord, when that final day comes, that they come and minister to us. That they see us across from life on earth to life with you. Temporary life to eternal life. A journey that we don't take alone, but we take with our angel. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, for those that are here. May you bless their lives and their families in a special way. In your name we pray. Amen.